We bought our farm 50 years ago now. The house had burned, and we were trying to turn the granary into a cabin, but there was no indoor plumbing. There was no running water in the house. The only source of water we had was this well. We did have electricity that I'd put in, and we had an electric pump jack that moved the pump rods up and down, so we had water, but not very much water. And we had to carry water, of course, to the house. Well, I couldn't afford to put a well in to have a decent system. And I tell you the truth, I'm happy that we didn't, because, and this may sound cruel, but I really wanted my kids to experience something. We had three kids, some of what I did.
And my mom was determined to keep us clean, even though we were outside every day all summer getting really filthy, crawling around in the woods and barefoot and running around getting really dirty. So she just determined that we would at least have clean feet when we went to bed. And my mom decided that was not enough of washing. It didn't count as washing up, so we needed the whole shower experience.
I don't know where I came up with the idea, but I thought maybe we could figure out a way of making an outdoor shower. That would be kind of interesting. Well, how are you going to make an outdoor shower? And I thought about that. My neighbor at the time in Madison ran a hardware store, Ellis Hardware. And I said, Maury, I want you to help me with something I'm thinking about. And he said, now, what are you trying to make? I said, I'm trying to make an outdoor shower. Here's the idea. Let's start with a 14-quart pail. You got some of those around here? Yes, I do. Cut a hole in the bottom, and then I want you to put about a foot or so of garden hose, fasten that in there so that it doesn't leak. You know how to do that. I don't. He said, yes, I can do that. And I said, the other end of the garden hose, put a garden sprinkler thing, and the spigot on the bottom had a little schnozzle on it so you could turn it off and on, which is very important. So then the kids and I went down in the woods and we cut three long poles, locust tree poles, brought them up. We set them up as a tripod about 8 feet high, wired the top together, set it up as a tripod.
This is a picture of our one pail shower. My dad on a ladder, and the one pail shower was on a pulley system so you could pull it up and down. It was one of my dad's finest inventions.
So, how do you not freeze to death? Because the water coming out of the pump's about, I don't know, 50 degrees or 45, something like that. So we would warm up some water on a cook stove. We had a wood cook stove with a tea kettle, warm up the water there, put some cold water in the pail, put some hot water in it, so it's just nice, pull it up, crawl under there. Well, then Susie and my wife said, well, geez, we're not going to take a shower standing out here in the buff in the open. You're going to have to put something around that thing. So I wrapped the canvas around the thing, and now it was complete. I said, if you're going to take a shower now, there's got to be at least three showers for every pail. They said, what? I try it and see, and it works. You don't need a whole lot of water to take a shower. I was keenly interested at that time in helping the kids understand that water is pretty darn precious, and I grew up without very much water, and I thought it'd be interesting for them to realize that, yeah, you can take a shower with not very much water. Then I struck the most wonderful idea I'd come up with in a very long time. Was an incentive for doing good work that was different than 50 cents. If you work hard today in the garden, you will be eligible for a whole pail shower. Wonderful. I mean, they work so hard, and that's still the big joke of the family. Have you done enough to earn a whole pail shower yet? Now, one of the things they want me to do, I may do it, is to reconstruct the whole pail shower so that the grandkids and now the great-grandkids can experience it. I really wanted a 17-foot aluminum Grumman canoe. I said to Ruth, what would you think, my wife, what would you think if I bought, why would you want a canoe when you got a boat? I said, well, a canoe is kind of neat and the kids might like it too. And she said, I think your dad thinks they're not safe. I've heard him say that too, I said. Well, I took the canoe down to the pond, and I don't know what the kids were, maybe 8, 9, and 10, something like that, 10, 11, 12. And I said, now, you guys can go out here in a canoe anytime you want. But you've got to wear a life vest. And before you even get in the canoe, I want to tell you something about how to operate the thing. And I showed them how to paddle. And then I said, now I want you, each one of you, to take the canoe by yourself out in the middle of the pond and see if you can tip it over. So that you know what the characteristics of the canoe are. And by golly, they had a stand on the side to tip the canoe over, of course. And I then had to confront my father. You don't confront your father generally, but there are times when it's necessary to point out to someone who has the power in the family that he was wrong. And I said, Pa, canoes are safe. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, I am. And we never talked about it again. So over the years, that canoe has, we've done many, many canoe trips with it. It looks like it's been through the war. It's all scratched up and dented up and bent. Still doesn't leak, not a hole in it, but it has a lot of memories. There's a very special place in northern Minnesota where my kids and I have one time or another gone for 25 years, and that's the Boundary Waters. It is a million acres of pristine lakes and forests. It is a place where there are bear and wolves that howl. There is no sound pollution. There's no light pollution. It's a place for contemplation. It's a place to discover who you are. It's a place to get in touch with nature in a way that, well, my farm comes close. But that's such a special place. It's also restful. The sound of water lapping on a rocky shore in a rhythmic kind of way, the interaction of rocks and water is really kind of interesting. And then how that sound changes with the intensity of the wind, where sort of a gentle message to a shouting story of history and the past and all the rest of it as the waves come splashing in. And you wonder, how did the voyagers manage with their canoes when the weather was this rough? And we're not able to manage with a 17-foot Grumman canoe that's built like a tank. We stay in a tent on the banks of a lake, and we so much enjoy any rainstorm that comes by. I love the sound of rain on canvas. I mean, it's just wonderful. And the stories are told over and over as the family comes together to think about the beautiful places where we have been, and we've been on a lot of them. Steve and I were coming out one year, and Steve is in the back. He's steering and paddling. I'm in the front. I'm looking for stones, a lot of stones in the water and the Boundary Waters. Foggy, misty, beautiful morning. And I say, Steve, stone ahead, left. Bigger stone. Steve, the stone's getting bigger. Stop. It's a moose. There was a moose feeding on a pot. The moose, just like some kind of a miracle, comes out of the water, and there's this whole big moose. And Steve says, what do I do? I says, geez, I don't know, but I wouldn't do anything if I were you. The moose stood there, and we stopped paddling. We're looking at this moose. Four or five steps ahead, it could have dumped us, but it didn't. It looked us over and said, I don't think this is worth the energy. I don't know what it thought. Turned around, walked up on shore, and shook itself like a dog. I mean, what a experience that was. Never forgotten that. Those are the kind of stories that we have. One more. This time, Jeff and I made the mistake of going into the Boundary Waters without a map. We'd been there for 10, 12 years, and I said, Jeff, we don't need a map. We know where we're going. Right. So we are lost, and we're going along, and we come upon an island. And I said, Jeff, look over on the island. And here were four young women sunbathing in the nude. And Jeff is in college then. I said, Jeff, look over to the left. Jeff said, whoa, you got the binoculars down somewhere. I said, no, you don't need a binoculars. I said, now act like we know where we're going. So don't look, just paddle. So we're going by, and we're about, I don't know, 20, 30 yards away. We're paddling along, and these women, jump up and they're holding a big blanket up in front of themselves, and we paddled by, and Jeff did get a little high. Son of a gun, if it was a dead end, man, it turned around, come back. This time they were ticked. Oh, they were mad. I said, Jeff, we gotta paddle a little faster this time. Well, anyway, those are some boundary water stories. Oh my.